All right, we'll start at the bottom of Samach Amud Bet, the two dots. Some quick adatum and some interesting gemaras here. So the mishamshua beirechayo, someone who has relations in the mill or the area of the mill, havala bnei nechve will have, I guess, epileptic children. The mishamshal aro, one who has relations on the ground, havala bnei shmute. They'll have children who have long necks. The darcha al ramo de chamo, one who steps on the excrement of a donkey, or the way the Aruch says it, it's the dama chamor, which is he has the girsa be dama de chamo, which is the blood of the donkey. Havelo bnei girdani. So he'll have children that are whose hair falls out. All right, the achla chardula, it's one who eats mustard. Now, these things that are happening, the first two were obviously while they're having relations. The location of the relations here, it's while the woman is pregnant, you know, that she consumes these items. So achla chardula avale b'nei zilzalani. So one who eats mustard will have children that are always hungry, that are ravenous. Da'achla tachle, one who eats cress or watercress, havala b'nei tulfani, will have children whose eyes are always constantly tearing. Da'achla munini, one who eats small fish, havala b'nei mitzitzi, actually have mitzitzi ena, so children that eyes are fluttering, right, or small eyes, according to the Aruch. Da'achla gargushta, one who eats either dirt or clay, havala b'nei mechu'ari, will have ugly children. Shach yeshechra, one who drinks beer, havala b'nei uchme, will have either black or dark children. Da'achla bisra, b'shat yechamra, one who eats meat and drinks wine, havala b'nei barye, she'll have healthy children. So da'achla b'nei, one who eats eggs, havala b'nei enine, she will have children with large eyes or big eyes. The achla kavore, one who eats fish, havala bnei chinine, will have children that have chain. I mean, this is one of the few that I could get. You know, with Yosef, the siman of the dag, right, is the siman of by Yosef, is in the brachas of Yosef that it's probably because we eat gularov b'kerav aretz, and the dag doesn't have an ayin hara. And one of the traits of Yosef was that he was matzah chain. So I assume the Gemara is playing off of that. That one who eats fish, right, will have that character trait of chen. Do'achlo karpaso, one who eats karpas, either I guess celery or parsley. Havala b'nei zivtani, will have shiny or radiant children. Do'achlo kusbirata, one who eats coriander. Havala b'nei bisrani, will have fat children. Do'achlo edroga, one who eats an etrog, havala b'nei rechani, will have nice-smelling children. Brati de Shavu Malko, the daughter of Shavu Malko, achla bo'ima etrog, her mother ate an etrog, or eating etrog, while she was pregnant. Havu maskela, the kamei avu, v'resh rechani, she used to be the first of the spice chain that came in front of him, that she smelled so good. Samar avuna, bodoklon ravuna barchilina. All right, so Jack looked into this matter or gave us this information. He omerit, so this is back to our Mishnah, about the obligation of the woman to her husband to nurse, right, that she is mishubedet to her husband to nurse. When do we say that she is mishubedet to nurse? So that's he omerit lahanik. She wants to nurse. V'hu omer shalo lahanik. And he says not to nurse. All right, shomim la. She gets the final say in this. Why? Because tzaradi dahu. There's not only is there a benefit to the child, but there's also involved in this is the woman's discomfort from not nursing. So she's able to make that, you know, decision for herself to relieve the discomfort, and she's allowed to nurse. Hu amer lahanik, he says that she should nurse. Vihu amer chelo lahanik, and she says, I don't want to nurse. Mao, what's the din? So it's called echad lav orcha shomim la. If her family does not, the minhag of her family is not to nurse, right? Then she gets that. Then we listen to her, and the decision is hers, not to nurse. He orcha v'hu lav orcha mai. Right? If her family normally does nurse, but his family does not normally nurse, what's the din? Where it says, but the day aslina, and then we go after his family, and she doesn't have to nurse. I mean, sorry, this is a question. Now, but did Azlin or but did Dozlin? Do we go after his family or her family? When we answered from this, Limud. Olai mo v'eino yoredeti mo. That she gets, I mean, she gets the benefits. All the benefits of his family, and she does not lose any of the benefits of her family. What's the pasuk? V'hi bu'ulat ba'al. Beliyato shel ba'al, v'lo b'riyato shel ba'al. So she gets anything that is a better situation or better minhag for her, she gets those of her husband. Whereas if she has, if her family has a certain minhag, then she doesn't lose that minhag just because her husband has a different minhag in this area. Well, as Amar Mihalcha, ki hi haita im kolchai, the chayim nitna v'lo letzar nitna, she gets to make a decision for life and not for pain, meaning that if something that involves her own body or it's something where she's getting married, she will reap the benefits that will be to her benefit and not to her detriment. So again, in this case, what's happening is that in the case where she wants to nurse, then it's in that's her discretion and she can't nurse, right? Even though the husband's objecting to her nursing. But the other question, is when she does not want to nurse, what's her decision dependent on? So again, if her family didn't nurse, then she doesn't have to nurse. Why? Because we say be'aliyato shel ba'al v'lo'aliyato shel ba'al, because she already, her family's minhag was not to nurse, and then she doesn't get knocked down and have to nurse when she marries a husband whose family is the minhag to nurse.
Why is it considering being knocked down?
Because we saw that in the Mishnah, we saw that when she gets a shifcha, one of the things that was taken away from her, obligations that was taken away first was to nurse. Right? So they didn't, again, when it's sarati dov, if she wants to nurse, or if it's her own personal decision, you know, that she wants to have that experience, then it's up to her. She can do that. The question is when she's objecting to doing, she does not want to nurse. Mm-hmm. Right? So she's saying, insisting, get me a wet nurse, I don't want to nurse. Right? What's her right to say that? Mm-hmm. So again, if her family minhag is not to nurse, then she gets to keep that minhag, even though her husband's family normally did nurse, because she doesn't get yirito shel ba'al. The other way around, if her minhag was not to, but her husband's, was to nurse, but her husband's family did not nurse, she gets that benefit as well when she comes in. Beliyato shel ba'al, v'lo b'riyato shel ba'al. So she gets the benefit from both sides, that not to nurse, but again, if she wants to nurse, then that's in her discretion. Okay, yichnisa lo shivcha. So we discussed in the Mishnah that this woman was obligated to do for her husband all these certain items that the Mishnah listed, or certain requirements that the Mishnah required a wife provides to her husband. Now we said if she brings in one shivcha, right, then she loses or eliminated from her obligations or certain of these items or obligations. Why? The Gemara's question, we asked this also in the Mishnah, why is it that it's not one for one? If she brings in a shifcha, why doesn't it eliminate all the work? If she could do all that work, then why can't the shifcha do all the work? Why do we have anything left over that she has to do? That's Gemara's question. So Gemara says, Har Shara Abdo. When she gets the first shifcha, right, the Mishnah said that she took care of a number of her obligations, but not all of them. But that means what? The remaining obligations the wife still, or the woman still has to do. But Tamale, Aitlach Itata B'charikai. I brought in a wife or a woman to replace me. I mean that if I was supposed to do all this, I brought in a shifcha, now she can replace what I was doing before. So Rishum do Amar lo, he can say to her, or tarcha lididil lida, right? Kamedidach mantarach. Meaning that when it was just me and you, when it was just the husband and the wife had all these obligations towards her husband, she could take care of her husband as well as herself. Right, the problem is now when you have three people involved, meaning that there's the shifcha, there's the husband and the wife, so the shifcha can take care of the didi, it can take care of the husband, ulidida, and herself. But kamitida, who's going to take care of you? Who's going to service you? The wife, mantarach. So that it's too much for the shifcha to service herself and the two, meaning that the husband and the wife, versus when it's just the wife where she's servicing simply her husband and herself. So that's why there's extra work left over. So Gemara says, all right, what about Shtayim? Right, what he brings into Einu Bevashelot Veinu Bniko Hashar Abda. Yeah, so we eliminated more obligations, but she brought in a second shifcha, but what? The remaining obligations are still there. V'teimalo Ayatlilach Itadachvina D'tarcha D'didi U'lidida V'chad D'didach U'lidida. Right? So now, and she goes, well, now I brought in two shifachot at this point, right? So she can say, what? I brought in another wife. Itatachrina, the tacha, the didi will take care of me. Ul the didah, never herself. But chada, and I have a second, right, shifcha, who will take care of the didah, you, as well as yourself, the didah. So meaning that the if you said before the wife could take care of herself and one other person, the husband, meaning, then once you have two shvachot here, each shivcha can take care of herself and one of the two spouses, right? So it should be sufficient. So where it says, Mishum Dharma la kame orche uparche man torach. Who's going to take care of all the guests and the, I don't know what you call them, like...
Passers-by.
Yeah, passers-bys, right, one night stayers. Because what Rashi suggests over here, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, if you look in Rashi by parche, Ovrim ledarkam. People, right, like you said, passers-by is a good word to use, that are stay for a short period of time. It's an interesting thing. Where people have a large household, Noagim litareach ovrei derech, people tend to stay. They stay as a bed and breakfast. When there's a lot of people there, they tend to stay as a bed and breakfast. So and Rashi defines orchim. What are real orchim? Orchim amishtayim Shabbos or Chodesh. Stay for a week or for a month. Right? So anachnasas orchim. That's when they stay for a month. You know, they stay for a couple of days. That's parche. Those are the ones who fly. Right? Meaning that they're here quickly and they leave. But just interesting as just generally. That the psychology that people would stay in houses or families that have large families or a lot of people there already. So I don't know if that's because there's already so much, you know, being serviced and being done anyway, so they just fit right in, nobody notices them, right? Or that in places they feel more comfortable. So, but he says, okay, but once we have a big family, you know, these two shvachot aren't going to happen because we have all these guests that come by, so I need a third one, you know, to take care of all the guests that are coming. So now what do you have problem? The Mishnah says shalosh. If she gets a third shivcha, Hashar avdo. She doesn't make the beds, but still she has to do the remaining obligations. So now she has a third shivcha who can take care of all these guests. So now we have three shvachot. One shivcha takes care of the wife and herself. One shivcha takes care of the husband and herself. And now you have a third shivcha, excuse me, that can take care of all these guests. The larger the family, the more guests we have. So Mar says, so what about four? When he brings in four, what are you going to do then? If you say that the more people, meaning that now we have more shvachot, so there are going to be more guests that come, right? So when the Mishnah says if she has four shvachot, she can sit and do nothing. But why should that be? Because now there's another person in the house. That means that there should be more guests. So the Gemara says, "Arban came into the fishilu Messiah Hadadi." By the time you have four shvachot, the shvachot there's a economies of scale now in shvachot. Not only can they do their own work, but they can help each other out. And once they can help each other out, they can accomplish more than the three individuals themselves. So at that point, they've reached already a point of scale where they could take care of even more people. All right, so four. That's the number they need. So Amar Abchan of Yitamer of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, lo ichnisa lo mamosh. It doesn't have to be that she actually brings shvachot, right? Ela kevin shruuya lahachnis. Even if she, right, that from her stature or her status should be, she is appropriate to have her have shvachot of Yishabi shlo nichnisa, even though she did not bring in. Now, what does it mean that her status? Either because the size of her dowry, right, is enough to provide shvachot. Or the other possibility, which is the next line of the Gemara, Tana, we have a braisa that suggests echad sheichnes nolo. One is, you know, meaning that whether she brings in shvachot, echad shetzimtzen nolo mishelo, or whether she skimped on her own to get a shivcha. So meaning that either she has a dowry, and she doesn't take out of the dowry or the amount of jewelry or personal items that she takes out, she skimped in order to afford a shivcha, so then she also has an entitlement to a shivcha in that case, or that she said that, meaning that that's what Tosfos, if you look at Tosfos, it's perish, tzimtzum lo masha hu chayav liten lo. He's obligated to give her a certain amount, kama kupa shel basamim, mishar dvarim, certain perfumes and jewelry, certain items that a husband should generally provide for his wife. If she says, don't give me these items, save the money and get me a shivcha, that's her entitlement. And she skimped in order that she can buy, you know, get herself some shvachot, then she's entitled. Rabbeinu Tam, yesh korsim shemotza lo mishalo. right? That meaning that he is a wealthy person. That meaning that it, Tzimtzum Allah, means that if he is wealthy enough that he can provide shvachot, then he has to provide her those shvachot. That's her entitlement when she married into his family. We said before, b'aliyat ha'baal v'lo b'riyato, that if she marries into that family and that's his family is wealthy or he is wealthy, then that her status should be elevated to the point where she has shvachot provided for her. Amar Rav Yitzchok Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Huna. Afal pi shum amru yoshevet b'katedra, that she can sit in the right, she can sit out in the yard, she can lounge, right, that she does not need to do any work when she has four shvachot. Val, she still has to be mozeget lokos, pour him his cup or, you know, mixes drinks. Matzed lo atamita, and then make his bed. We're going to see what that means. Marchetzed lo panaviyah devaraglav, she still has to wash his hands, his face, and his feet. Meaning that she has to bathe him. So all these three items remain. Even after she has four shvachot, these items remain of obligations of the wife. Now, the problem with that is that the Mishnah enumerated as one of the obligations a wife has is to make the beds, and if she gets a shifcha, right, then that shifcha eliminates her need to, right, the third shifcha that she gets eliminates her need to make the beds. But over here it's saying she has to make the beds. So Rashi points out here, and I think Tosfos as well point out that the Matzet Lo Tamita has two aspects to it. There's one aspect which means seems to be there's a burden of making the bed. Now, I don't know if that's tightening the ropes that held up the mattresses or whatever, redistributing the straw, whatever the mattresses were. That heavy work, that she can give over to a shifcha. The putting on the sadinim, putting on the sheets on top, or the top sheet, which is a labor of love, that she's still obligated to do. So now, what's unique at all of these items? So if you look in Rashi, Avol mazeget lo kos metzed lo tamita, that Rashi, Avol mazeget lo kos metzed lo tamita, Lifros sadim levadim, right? She puts on the sheet and the pillows. That's a labor of love. Dover she'eno torach, something that's not a big deal, meaning that it doesn't take a lot of effort. Mushum demile dechiba ninhu. These items, all these three items that they're saying that she must do, even if she has all these shvachot, or why? Because these are labors of love. I mean, these are things that indicate or engender the love of her husband towards her. Kedei she'techabev alav, right? That he will love her more. Lo domi lematzet the masnisan. It's not like the making of the bed in our Mishnah. The habi davar shel torach. That is something that is what? That's something that takes tremendous effort. Obekfia hani lo kafila. These we do not force her. It's interesting, right? The Mishnah, those that are enumerated in the Mishnah, the woman is obligated to do for her husband. And if she doesn't have shvachot, we would force her to do them. These three items, which the Gemara is suggesting over here, a woman, even if she has four shvachot, should still do for her husband. We don't force her in this case. Why? The Chachamim are giving her good advice. The Hanchig Zot B'Yisrael, that she should do these items, because that way that will maintain the marriage or strengthen the marriage, because she does certain things that will engender her husband's love towards her. All right, so now the Gemara is going to question or deal with some of these issues, these three items. What is that? All right, with Yitzchak Bar Chanan Yam Rav Huna, Kol Melachot She'Isha Osa L'Balo, Nida also the balo. Anything that a wife normally does for her husband, a nida, a woman who is a nida, can also do for her husband. Chutz mizikat kos, batzat amita, v'chatzat panavi yagla. So these are the three items that we just mentioned. These three items are, what are they? They are labors of love, they're derech chiba, and therefore they would be inappropriate during the time that she is a nida. These are some of the harchakos, exactly. The harchakos that we have during nida, you know, range from, they have different categories. One is items, for instance, like these, which are what? Items that engender chiba, that engender love. So these items we do not do when she's in nida. There also are chakos, which are items that would engender or would cause them to reach marital relations. So such as, you know, touching, hugging, kissing, all these items, those are also eliminated during the time that she's in nida, because that's just, right, that's our chaka. And it's sad that it's a geder not to reach the point of marital relations. And then, so those would be the two, I don't know what I'm thinking of, the third area of harchakos that we have, that other items that maybe like passing and so on and so forth, that are harchakos that are, again, to create a sort of a reminder. Right, that a zikaron, that she's a nida. Right, so certain things like eating at the same table, you have to have some sort of heker between you, something that will right, change the normal flow of items. So whether
if it's just the two of you.
But yeah, if it's just the two of you, right? If there's a third party already, you don't need that. So these are three areas. So this category, this falls into the category of engendering chiba. Right, so you can't do this while she's an idah. So the Gemara is showing from here that these three items are what? Something that's derech chiba, not a derech torach. And therefore, what? That's why, what? That's why we have a requirement, that, or not a requirement, or a good suggestion, good advice, that the woman do these for her husband, even if she has the four shvachot. Because the whole purpose of these items is to engender love with the husband. Batzata mita, so you're wondering about making beds. Amaravalo, amaral, fun of, avashalob, fun of, leslaba. That's only if she makes the bed in front of him. But if she doesn't, if she spreads out the bed, puts out the sheets, when he's not there, that's not an issue of chiba. So just note two things here. One is, okay, wait, let's go on. Umzigarakos. Right, so when it came to pouring a cup when she was in nida, meaning that mixing his drinks, pouring a cup while she was in nida, Shmuel michlefale debitu biyada d'smolo. She would only do the mixing, right, with her left hand. Abaya manchale, obviously if you're lefty, it means the right hand. Abaya manchale apuma d'kuba. When she passed a cup to her husband, she would not put it down on his right on his plate. She'd put it on the mouth of the jug nearby, so he would take it from there. Rava Besadio, she would put it on the pillow. I'm assuming this means when they used to eat, you know, Roman style, laying down at the, with the pillow at the top. She would put it on the pillow, not on the table in front of him. Rav Papa Sharshifa, Rav Papa used to place it down on the footstool, right in front of him. Amar Yitzchak. Okay, so these are all items that would be Chachakos. Now Rashi makes a strange statement here. He says, what? Michlechole? When does she do this? When were these Chachakos, this idea of not directly servicing her husband when she is in nida, Rashi says that's only bimei libuna. That she, these harchakos are what? Bimei libuna. What is Laban? During her white days. What are her white days? Those are during her shiva nikiyim. So wait, what does that mean? What does that mean? It sounds like from Rashi, what? That during the Zion nikiyim, this is what they used to do. But otherwise, they didn't do this, or they did more. It's hard to understand what Rashi's really after here, because for us today, we don't differentiate between when she's an actual nida and when her Zayin Nikim, because as long as she doesn't go to the mikvah, right, she remains a nida. So why should there be a difference between when she's an actual nida or when she's waiting her Zayin Nikim? So it's a strange statement of Rashi's. If you look in Tosvos, Mikhva Dvidu, so you look at Tosvos, Machzor Vitri Peir Sharab, Rav Shemai Shayin Nizar Rashi, Afilu Shalitay Mafteach Miyadol Lada. This is one of the harchakos we were just talking about. He didn't pass a key from his hand to his wife's hand. So this is one of the harchakos we have. Mikanein raya. This is no raya from our gemara over here. The shiny mezigas hakos shu davar shel chiba. Right? That the cup, or what we just saw in our gemara, is the reason that we separate during neither for these items is because what? It's derech chiba. So you can't argue that passing the key was an issue of derech chiba. That's a different harchakos. Right, basura afilu avi lefanav al shulchan. She can't even bring the cup in front of him on the table. So that doesn't make. So now, if you look, if you skip down in Rashi, that's one point that Tosfos makes. If you skip down in the Tosfos to Masha Perish, it's about towards the third, the bottom third of the Tosfos. Uma, it's the last word in the line. It says Uma. You have it, Ma. Masha Perish, the Michlefle biyoda the smaller be made libuna. Right. That he only changed, he did this harchak, or this change, when she was in her shiva nikiyim. Demasha shehakel bimei libunami bei niduta. Meaning that this was a kula during her zayin nikiyim versus when she was in nido. So why is he doing? Mechein matzinim per kama deshamas ba uvda sheveti le'el the kama bei nidotech. Mao etzlech. Right? So, mao etzlech. So Nira, so Tosfos has to solve this problem of Rashi. How could he differentiate between when she's in nido and when she is a Zayin Nikim? She's still a Nida in both these cases until she goes to Mikvah. So Nira, this amazing Tosfos says, Nira, show you regilin litvol achar shiva l'ri'iyo kikshem pogo seket. Right, so Min HaTorah, what's the din of Nida? Min HaTorah and Nida, once she sees Dam, she waits 7 days. At the end of 7 days, if she goes to the Mikvah, she's Torah Lagamre, as long as she doesn't see any Dam anymore. She can see as much Dam during that 7 day period. As soon as that 7 days is up, if she stops seeing Dam, she goes to the Mikvah and she's Tahor. So in the why do we keep Zaynikim? Why do we have it today? That's the Chumrah that Mar Nida mentions, right? Yechmir Atzman to sit for a Zavagdola. We're Choshish the Zavagdola for someone who lost their count. And if she has 3 days of Dam during her 11 days between of Yemei Ziva, if she sees Dam for 3 days, she'd be a Zavagdola. And we're not sure if she loses her count, whether these are really Yemei Nida or Yemei Zavol. So we assume everybody's a Zavagdola, and we wait Shiva Nikiyim. Anyway, we wait 7 Nikiyim to be Choshish for being a Zavagdola. So this whole idea of Zayin Nikiyim is all mean, right? Min Adarabonon, right? That's a chash that we have. Or Benos Yisrael, Hechmir Atzman, that's what Bar Nida says. Right? So therefore, after 7 days, just from the time, first time she saw Adam, she went to the mikveh after 7 days. Min HaTorah, she would be Tahar. So if she went to the mikvah after the 7th day, she'd be tahor, and she could still count the zayin nekiyim in order to get the rabbanon. So what Tosfos says is she went to the mikvah twice. She went to the mikvah once after 7 days. From the time she saw Adam for the first time, she went to the mikvah 7 days, and that made her tahor midoraisa. Then she went a second time to the mikvah after she had counted 7 nekiyim. Part of those 7 nekiyim could be during those 7 days, the original 7 days, but she counted Zayin Nikiyim, and then she went to the mikvah again to get rid of the Nida Derabonon, or the Chshash of Zava Gdola. So that's what Tosu says. That's why Rashi differentiated between Bimei Livuna Lebei Niduta. Bimei Niduta, she's a Nida Midoraisa. Then she would go to the mikvah after 7 days, and during her Bimei Livuna, she would only be a what? A Nida Derabonon, or Nida Minhog, Mina Minhog, and Zava Gdola. So it'd be a minhag. So that's why Rashi is willing to be mekil, be made libuna, yoter, mi me niduta.
But so not it really doesn't. But it, the terminology isn't so good. Mm-hmm. The you may libuna.
Why?
Because that could also be part of the first 7 days.
Right, right. I'm leaving that right. It's a good. You're thinking about that, right? We don't start counting the Zayin Nikiyim after she finishes her Shiva of Nida, right? So they overlap. Some of those Shiva of Nida will overlap
with the
Shiva
Nikiyim. But the Oraisa period is 7 days. Are you talking about the Lashon of the
Libuna, right. I mean, that her if you say Libuna means Shiva Nikiyim, then the Shiva Nikiyim can overlap with the 7 days of the Oraisa. So even if she goes to the mikveh after the 7th day, it might be she's already 3 days into her Libuna. Which makes it, I mean, Rashi, as well as the explanation of Tosfos, are very difficult. That they went to the mikvah twice, it's not, we don't have a minhag like that, and it's like, seems pretty.
Make a difference in terms of being able to eat truma, let's say?
She would be, right, I mean, if she's not a nidah d'oraisa, but for choshesh, mi d'rabbanan, we wouldn't let her eat truma anyway.
But maybe
if she did. If she did, right, then it's less, right, there might be only a chash, it's only a suffix, then not a real d'oraisa.
No one says this is Lashon Nekiyah.
What?
No one says Rashi's just saying Libuna when he
means. Oh, Bei Libuna means, that's interesting, means Libuna, right? No, but Rashi would say, Bine Nidata.
It's not nothing.
Right. I mean, Nidata, it's not a term that Rashi's avoided in the past. Like, if you say Rashi never uses the term Nidata, then I wouldn't say it, but I don't think Rashi does use it in other places, so that's interesting. Yeah, it's a strange. So the Tosa says, "Avav zmana zeh shein migdol libol ad achar shiva nekiyim in kiluk ben yemei nidol ben libun." There's no difference. Today that we only go to the mikvah once, then makes no difference. They're all the same. Although again, most Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say that this harchakot mean that this kula of being able to pass but not directly applies even during mei niduta. Rashi seems to say it only applies during shiva nekiyim, but during mei niduta he couldn't do anything. She couldn't even be mozeket lo sukkos. She couldn't do anything for him. She couldn't even serve him dinner in an unusual manner. She would have to be totally out of the picture. So right, that's the way Rashi's learning the Gemara. Because Rashi's saying the Kula here is only during her Zayin Nikiyim. But during her Shiva, her Abnida, then she wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff. Most Rishonim believe what? And this is the way we pass the Halacha, is that these Kulas of doing it in an unusual manner, doing it in a Shinoi, apply even during Bein Yudutah. And that's what we do today. That when a wife serves a husband or passes a drink or pours a husband, she puts the plate down in a slightly, right, not right in front of him, she puts it off on the side, does something that creates a shinoi, and that's even b'mei nizvuta. And that's, I mean, we pass the halach, and we mostly be shown and learn our Gemara right here. Right. Now, a little interesting side note here. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chanan, Yamar Ravuna, Akol Mishayim Bifnei Shamash Chutz Mibasar V'Yayin. So here, if you have a waiter who's servicing the people, then you don't feed him. You don't have to feed him before the meal. But if you're serving wine or meat during the meal, then you have to give him some while he's serving or beforehand, because otherwise they engender such a strong feeling or desire that he'll be overcome by the need to eat basar v'yayin. So I'm going to basar shamein v'yayin yoshen. We're talking about meat, fat meat that gives, that has that great odor, and old wine, right? Amarava basar shamein kol hashana kula. Fat meat, meat with fat on it, that smell will make a person go crazy to eat. That is all year round. Yain yoshim tekufas tamos. During tekufas tamos is when it's very hot out. The wine has a greater smell, and it's because of the heat, it also the person's overcome by the smell much faster. So therefore, these are the times that you have to feed the shamash first. Amar Rav Anan bar Tachlifa b'kamina kamei demar Shmuel, that I was before Shmuel, but I see tavshila de arde. Right, and he brought before us, or he brought out, they brought out a tavshila de arde. What's a tavshila de arde? So Rashi says it's like, you know, min kmeim upitriot. You know, there's some sort of mushrooms and fungus, whatever it was, some sort of dish, right? If he didn't give me some, I would have been in danger. I mean, I would have passed, you know, I would have passed out from the smell and being so overtaken by the smell that was there. Amarash, you have a kamina kamei de Rav Kahana, v'aitile galgalide de lifta b'chala. He brought out these, you know, small, thin cuts of turnip in vinegar. Right, if he loved Avili, right, if he hadn't given it to me, it's the kani, I would have been in danger. Even a fat date that has this effect on people, and that you can't bring out these types of food and then tell a person they can't have or have to wait to have it. I mean, that when you have these foods that have such good smells to them, then you got to feed them right away, because otherwise we'll see in the cases in the Gemara that it leaves a person in danger. Kwalo de milsa, what's the general principle here? Called Islay Recha, Islay Kiyua, anything that has a great smell or has a, I guess here, pungent side to it, meaning like the vinegar that we said with the turnips and the vinegar, right? Then you have to give it to the person right away so that they do not feel a desire for this food, which will overcome them, right, and make them sick. Abua bari, umin yamin bari, so they're brothers. One of them would give their waiters or servants prior to feeding them a taste of everything that they were going to serve. One of them gave one, you know, from one thing so that he wouldn't be so hungry, wouldn't be ravenous, and he wouldn't be overcome by the smells. Mar mishtayaleo b'day, mar lo mishtayaleo b'day. One of them, Eliyahu, used to visit with him. The other one, Eliyahu, did not visit with him. It's obvious that the one who gave his waiters or servants a taste of everything in the meal, it was considered such a chesed that Eliyahu used to spend time with him. The other did not get these visits from Eliyahu because he wasn't as generous. Hanu tartein chaside. There are two chasidim, right? Not chasidim meaning those that are balei chesed, not like we say chasidim. Amilah Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas, b'nei Rav Chisda. Some people say it was Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas, the sons of Rav Chisda. Mar kodem safi, umar me'achar safi. Right, one of them would what? Before he would serve the meal, would give the waiter to eat. The other one would give the each one came out, he used to give the waiter a taste of it. The kadam safi eliyahu mishtayaleo b'day, the one who gave early on, Eliyahu used to come and visit with him. The ma'achar safi eliyahu mishtayaleo b'day, the one who delayed and gave him later on, Eliyahu used to not visit him. So it's amazing. I would just say it's amazing here, but the idea that to be a true talmid chacham and to be one that Eliyahu comes to visit, that person not only has to be, you know, knowledgeable and asuk b'Torah, but it has to be a Baal Chesed. Right? That one of the requirements for to have Eliyahu visit was that someone is generous, of generous spirit, and is a Baal Chesed. And that's what allowed Eliyahu to come. So these others were Tamidei Chachamim, Amoraim, right? And yet Eliyahu didn't visit them because they, in the slightest way, they didn't consider other people's feelings or consider other people's needs. Amemar Umar Zutra of Ravashi. So the three of them, Abu Kayafi, Pitcha de Bey, Azgur Malko. They were sitting outside the door of the king. Khalifa Azil Aturgna God Malka, the butler was passing by, and in front of them, Chazir Avashi Lamar Zutra, the Chazar Apit. He saw, right, Avashi saw that Marzutra's, you can say one of two things. Either he turned his head, right, to see the food, or that, you know, Nishtanu Apal means that his face turned, meaning it turned color, that he was, I mean, he had gotten this desire for the food, and he's going to, you know, he was going to be in danger, as they thought. Shakol be'etzbate, he grabbed some of the food off the plate, the butler's plate. He's going to the king. Ravashi sticks his hand out, grabs a piece off, right, and anachle b'pumei, puts it in his mouth. So the butler, amarle, avsad to the sudasa de malko. So he says, you just ruined the king's meal. You just stuck your fingers right into the king's meal. Right, so amarle, amai tavid ochi. So the guard said to him, what did you do? Why did you just ruin the king's meal? So amarle, manta ovid ochi. This, whatever this food was, there's something wrong with it. it's not good fit for the king. This food is not fit for the king. They said to him, what do you mean it's not fit for the king? I saw that this food had tzaras in it. Right? Rashi says, Dover Acher Avabay, right, that it was a chazir, right, that had tzaras. Pig that had tzaras. So that was something that's not, you know, that's in danger as a person who eats this. I said, Badku v'lo ashkuchu. Now they go and check it out, and they find that whatever he said is not true. Right? So, Shakal etzbate, anachale. So he said, bring it to me. He goes, picks up a piece, and he says, Amalu hocha, here it is. Midbat kiku, Amalu hocha midbat kitu. Did you check this piece yet? Badku and ashkuchu. They checked that piece that he picked up, and they found that it had tzaras in it. Samalu rabbana, and my time, samachta anisa. It's clear that he was so mechananesir that it wasn't true what he was saying, and that when he picked it up, he was so mechananes that it would have tzaras on it. So, Malu chazai ruach tzaras the kaparchole. I saw that Marzutra's life was in danger. He was about to have tzaras come out of him, meaning that he was being overtaken by the food and something dangerous or a sickness would overcome him that would endanger him, and therefore I needed to take care of him first. He was besakan, I needed to take care of him. Once I took care of him, I needed the nace then to explain why I had done that, why I had taken care of Marzutra. So it's an unusual, it's an amazing case from many aspects. One, of course, is if he's claiming, right, that it was basar shel chazir mitzora, right? That's what he
was feeding
into Marzutra. That's what he was feeding. So you have to say that he was in danger, that he really felt that his life was besakana in order to feed him that. And number two is the idea of being so mechalanes. That means that he felt so strongly about the sakana that he's willing to take that risk and be so mechalanes to take care of it. So it's an amazing story from two aspects. And again, that it's Rabashi. Right? We think of all the Nisim, right? We talk about the early Tanoim, we talk about earlier times. Here's Rabashi, who is one of the Batros who put together the Gemara, right? The Sadar Gemara, and he's having these types of Nisim take place.
He quotes over here the Marsha saying that since he just gave him a te'ima, and te'ima isn't as chamar as blia.
Blia, right, all right, it's te'ima versus blia. Very interesting, right? We have that in the Arab Shabbos, you have that also when the women are cooking, if they have a te'ima, whether, right, they don't become fleshik versus blia, right, where they become fleshik. All right, al roma, so now here's the story, it tells you how dangerous it is not to feed someone something. He wanted this woman to marry her, so he asked her to marry her. So it's not a chance. This woman says, not a chance, I'm marrying you. So he brought back, I'm going to assume this is, pale means a bursting or breaking, and rimane, I'm assuming, means a rimon, right? Is a pomegranate or something. Something that was delicious. Va'achal kama, right? So, and he ate it in front of her. So she was chalashing for whatever he was eating in front of her. Komaya the tsari la balate. She would, your saliva, right? When you're very hungry and you want something, you produce a lot of saliva. So she was swallowing all the saliva that she was producing. Vahavla la. Ada zagla. He didn't give her any. Vahada zagla. That means that until the point where her stomach starts to swell and her face swelled. Ada zag. Zag is a skin, but zag meaning that it's a clear skin. Nafku panava graysa asuzukuchit. It was like glass. She came dark in fuchim, those that blow up. So she was, meaning that she had endangered her life. If I cure you from what's happening to you right now, will you marry me? She says, yes. This is a good way to get a marriage off into a good start.
You should try.
Exactly. He took another one. Come up. And he did it again in front of her. Right? Right? Every time you get this saliva in your mouth, instead of swallowing it, spit it out. Spit it out. Until this green something came out of her, like green, I don't know, yeah, I don't know what it is, some green. Sort of saliva, green saliva, green...
palm leaf.
Right, hutza is usually a leaf, right? Hutza yarka, until it comes out. The Gemara uses a lot, sometimes other places where to describe where the expelling something horrible, like a hutza yarka comes out, vitziat, and she was cured. I would say the fairy tale doesn't have an ending about how they happily lived happily ever after, but at least the Gemara is talking about here, again, I think trying to give an example of the dangers that are involved in not feeding someone when they are chalashing for something. And that, the earlier Gemara is about not feeding the waiter or the servants, and again, not feeding Ravashi's, why Ravashi gave Marzutra something to taste right away. Okay, Bosa Bitsemer. She has to do work in wool. That she does. That's one of the requirements of the wife. But Zemer in Pishtin Lo. She has to do work in wool, but not in linen. Right? Ma'i or flax. Masnis and Mani. Our Mishnah is like, who? Rabbi Yehudi, the Tanya. Ain't a kofel lo la'amod lifnei aviv, lo la'amod lifnei b'no. He can't force her to serve his father, or, I mean, her father-in-law, or his son. V'leitein tevin lifnei b'hemto, but not to, and not to give straw to the animals. About kofel litein tevin lifnei b'karo. Bakro, you can, or Bikaro, you can give her, you can force her to give Tevin to his cow. Alright, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afeinu Kofel Asot, Bepishtan. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't, again, I just note this, I don't know what to make of it. Rashi points out what's the difference between these animals, the cow, versus the other animals. It says the other animals desire the woman, the cow is not so interested in the woman, so therefore, she can feed the woman. I would have just said that the cow generally is a very tame and domesticated animal. So to feed the cow, no big deal. But the other animals, of course, like a horse or something, which are more active and more, you know, dangerous to be involved, or more involved, so there she doesn't have to do it. I mean, so something that's simple, we say she does, but I mean, something that's more involved, we don't force her to do, or dangerous. About kofel, Rabbi Yehuda says, I've been a kofel less
of a fish. How does that match up with Lifnei Aviv or Lifnei Beno?
Right. Oh, meaning that's the equivalent.
Was it like dangerous for her to...
Right, no, but there I think there the issue is that it's not, she's just not obligated to them. I mean, she's obligated to service her husband. She's not obligated to service who her husband needs serviced, meaning that her husband can't say, well, you know, take care of my father, take care of my son. Yeah, those are just not obligated.
To feed his cattle.
Right, there, to do things that he would normally do. I mean, that's, you know, she, before we said that even though she doesn't, she can sit in the cathedra, she has to still, I mean, so she says if he needs something upstairs, he can send her upstairs to get it. I mean, that there was a certain amount of expectations that the woman would service the man or help him out with what he needed. And so these are needs. What are reasonable needs that the husband or obligations he can place on his wife versus unreasonable? I think that's what the Mishnah is trying to differentiate. Again, different than our, right, what we would be used to or what our, the norms of our society today.
Not so different.
Not so different, I don't know.
I mean, if you think who's running the household,
right?
Maybe your family's different. You know, it's not right or wrong, but... My wife's running the household.
No, that's true. I'm saying, but we don't talk about it in terms
right.
of obligation.
In terms of, right.
Right. I mean, that these, I mean, versus, I mean, these are choices that, you know, we make through marriage and that, you know, the women run the household, but they see that as a value and something that is, right, something that they want to do. They don't see that as here where the husband comes in and says, well, you know, they were kofi. I mean, that they could force you to do this. These were mm-hmm. obligations that the woman had towards the husband. Now here you have something where you split up the burdens, you know,
right.
you do between you. That's more of a choice rather than obligations, I would say. Not again. The fact that a woman does some of these things anyway, that doesn't mean that's right. That doesn't change. It's right. Why she has to do these things, right?
Okay.
I say to her, if you said to your wife, you must do this every day. I don't think she would feel so good about that, you know.
She'll laugh.
You must get it. Massage every day.
Right.
She might be okay.
Then she might be okay. All right.
What a waste of time, she'd say. Fight her.
All right. I'm going to be a Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Afeinu kofel lasot bepishtan. He can't force her to work with linen or flax. This is what we want to know. We're going to throw all this to get to here, right? Meshim pitron masrecha depeh. Now, meaning that when you thread something, when you're twining or threading, right, you have to, sometimes you have to wet the thread. Or either to get it through the needle or to twine it, they needed to wet it, so they used to run it through their mouths. Right? So when they ran it through their mouths, first of all, it gave bad breath. And it rips open the lips and causes your lips to swell. So again, the pishtan was something that was unpleasant to work with, so that is an unreasonable request or obligation to place on the woman. So to work with tzemer is okay, but pishtan, that's unreasonable. This is talking about linen or flax, the Roman flax. That's the type of stuff where you wouldn't do it because it has these properties that would be unreasonable to ask the woman to work with. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, even if he has 100 shvachot. Amar Rav Malkio, Amar Rav Adar Ba'ava, Alocha ki Rabbi Eliezer. The Alocha is like Rabbi Eliezer. All right, I'm not going to go through all these cases. This is a Gemara that's found in a couple of places in Shas. Right, about how to remember the difference between Rav Malka and Rav Malkio. Right, Rav Malka and Rav Malkio were two Moraim that were saying over memras, and they said Allah is like somebody. So they, in these cases, they said Allah is like this or like that. And how do you remember who was the author of those statements? Samar Rabbi Chanina Breid Ravika, Shipud, Shvachot, Vigumot, right, Rav Malkio. These cases of Shipud, Shvachot, which is our case over here, and Gumot's case in Nida, right, Mavalkio. Those are all halachos, right, Shipud's a case in Beitza, Gumot's a case in Nida. They are all like Rav Malkio. He's the one who says the halacha is like them. Blorit, Efer Makle, and Gvina, right, so Gvina's Akum, Efer Makle, and Blorit is a type of haircut. Those are all Rav Malkia. Those are all Rav Malkia is the one who said over these. Right, that the halacha is like these three items. So what's important to us is shvachot here, which is what we said. Right, that's shvachot. So the Gemara is here, she's bringing down that we have this division between Rav Malka and Rav Malkio. Right? Rav Papa, if we have enough time later on this year, we can come back to each of the cases, discuss what the cases are. Right, Rav Papa Amar Masnisin Umasnisa Rav Malkio. No. When it's a Mishnah or a Brisa, then it's Rav Malkio that made that statement. Shmaitata, if it's a stam member of an Amora, that is Rav Malkio. That's Simaneich. And how do you remember this? Masnisa Malkasa. Right, that's the Brisa goes with the what? With the king, which is Malkasa, which is a female, right? So Masnisa Malkasa, that'll go along with Rav Malkio, right? So anyway, those are all like female types of conjugations. Right, might be Nayu. What's the only difference between them? Ik benayu shvachot. Shvachot would be a difference between them. Why? Because shvachot, right, is a listed is a Mishnah, right? Which is our Mishnah right here. And over here we say what? Amar Rav Malkio, Amar Rav Adar Bar Abba, Alachak Rabbi Eliezer. So shvachot would be the difference between them, whether it's Rav Malkio or Rav Malkio. Our Gemara says Rav Malkio, and so does Rav Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says Rav Malkio is the one who says the halacha is like this Mishnah. But according to Rav Papa, the Masnisa or Mishnah would go like Rav Malkio. So the author of that statement should have been Rav Malkio. So that would be the difference between them. The question of whether the Shemaitah, if the only change, this is the only change, because then you have to swap one else out. There's one other Shemaitah that we said is Rav Malkio. Whether you swap that out or not, Rashi says you don't swap it out. Tosfos brings two opinions. Again, not so important for our daf here, but the main one is Shvachot, which is our daf here, whether it's Rav Malkio or Rav Malkio, and that is actually the machlokas between them, who was the author of that statement. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, that what? You can't let her do no work, so the Tanakhama gave the reason because it's maybe Lidei Zima. Right? Rav Shimon Gamliel says because it's maybe Lidei Shimo. Right? I mean, the person goes crazy if they don't do something. So, Hainu Tanakhama, what's the difference? What's the difference if she... it leads to Zima or it leads to Shimon. Either way, it's something negative and it should make no difference. Gemara says, right, that what? She has activities to do, but they're not necessarily work. So what's that? So here, if you have Metalab Gureita, look at Rashi. Metalab Gureita, Kitnaita, Vinidarshir. Mesacheket, Bekalabim, Dakim. Small, she plays around with dogs, small dogs or puppies. Uzchok. Right, and darshir would be something like laughter or levity, right? Frivolous behavior, right? So that may be lidei zima, but leika lidei shima leka dein shima el biyoshiv etoa bata legamre. But that person goes crazy when they're doing absolutely nothing. Here she's doing something, but that what she's doing is frivolous or full of levity, and therefore what she'll end up that could bring to lidei zima. But it would not bring lidei shimum. So that'd be a nafka mina between these two opinions about whether which. Good enough for her to, enough work or something for her to do to keep her equivalent. All right, Mishnah. Madar Isho Mitash Mishamita. One who takes a neder and said he will not have marital relations with his wife. Again, he's obligated to his wife. So it can't be that he takes a neder to not have Tashmish, but he says he's Oser Hanat Tashmishechala. He does it in a way that does not undermine his obligation to her. Becham Yomim Shtei Shavatot. He waits 2 weeks before he gives a divorce. Bezil Omer Shabbas Achas. He waits 1 week. Talmidim yotzim l'talmud Torah shlo b'rishus. The Talmidim do not have to ask their wife's permission to go out to go and learn. Shloshim yom for 30 days. Papoalim Shabbos achas, and the poalim, the workers, go for 1 week. Can go without permission for 1 week. All right. Ona hamura b'Torah. What's the obligation of a husband towards his wife? Right, in terms of Tashmish, Atayalim b'chol yom, we have to see what Tayalim are. Every day, Apolim, Shtayim b'Shabbos, twice a week for workers, day laborers, it seems. Achamarim, those that travel around, but they only travel during the week, they're back every Shabbos. Right, those are achatz b'shabbos once a week. Agmalim, those that travel longer distance, caravans, right, they're going to be gone for over Shabbos, over longer periods of time. Achatz l'shoshim yom, once a month. Right, asfanim, these are the sailors who go out for, it's funny, a term I just noticed in Rashi, they go out in the Yama Gadol, they go out in the big ocean, l'kitzvei ha'aretz, to the ends of the earth. Right, so just an interesting term, but anyway, so spanim achad l'shisha chadoshim, they go once every 6 months, because that's, you know, they're out for very long period durations. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's the words of Rabbi Eliezer. So my time in the Beit Shammai, what's the reason in Beit Shammai we wait 2 weeks? So he says, gami meo letis nekeifa, we learn that from a female birth. Why? By a female birth, how many days is she tamei? She's tamei shvuayim, 2 weeks. So we see that min haTorah, there's a period of time where a woman is separated from her husband for 2 weeks, and that's okay. So, okay, we give her 2 weeks. He learns out from a male birth, which is what? Only 1 week. There's a Shiva, Dimei Tuma. So, why don't they learn out from Nikeva? You're right. If they learn out from giving birth, that's true. That's not what they really learn from. Where does Beit Lilo learn from? They learn out from Anita. What's the period of time that Anita is separated? Min haTorah is only 7 days. Right, so but Mike Miflegay, what are the argument? Marzaver mida de shchiach, mida de shchiach. Anita is a regular thing, a regular cycle that the woman has. So too over here, that once a week is a reasonable amount of time that we learn out, right? That a person can separate for tashmis. Marzaver mida de garim la, mida de garim la. We look at something that he causes. Right, he causes the woman. I mean, that since he impregnates her, he causes the woman to have an akeva. So therefore, we wait 2 weeks, just like over here. His nether caused her, what? To have the problem of tashmis. Amarab machlokas b'mefarish. The only time there's a machlok is when he explicitly states it's for a week or 2 weeks. Abastam, if he just says that the nut of tashmis is asur lach, that's divya kol, yotzi la'altar v'tank tuba. He should get divorced immediately and give her a ksuba. Why? Because within it's an unlimited amount of time, that's not reasonable. But shmula amarafilu b'stam. Even if he gives no limit to the amount of time, we say, Nami Yamtin, you wait a week or 2 weeks, depending on your Beis Hillel Shammai. Why? Shemi Yimatze Petach Nidro. Maybe you'll what? Find a way to undo the nether. So we give him the amount of time that he's allowed to separate from his wife, a week or 2 weeks. We give him that time, even though he's taken a nether that has unlimited duration, we give him that time in order, maybe he'll find a way to get out of the nether. If he doesn't get out of the nether within that reasonable time, then we say to him, you have to divorce her and give her her ksuba. Okay. Okay. Yamid, what time is it?
10 after.
10 after. All right. So we'll just quickly do the two dots. And it goes, Mishtos. Hapli b'chad zimna. We already had this argument once before. That's not a mother. Ishto melanos lo. A person who says you can't get any benefit from me. Achlushim yom yamid parnes. He can put a third party. He can ask the third party to feed her during those 30 days because he's chayv mizanotah. He can ask the third party to take care of her. Yotim yikan yotim tank duba. After 30 days, it's not reasonable. He has to give her a get and give her a ksuba. If he explicitly stated it was for 30 days, the nether. But if he said stam that he's not going to give her, he can't get any more at all, then Yotzi La'alto, he has to get rid of her right away. I mean, give her a get right away. Even if he didn't give it a limit to the nether, we wait the 30 days, which is a reasonable amount of period, in order to see if he gets a pet of the nether. Tzricha, we need both of these cases. Why? Because if we only had the case over here, by the case of Tashmish, you can't have a third party take care of her. So therefore, that's where Rob says that he has to get divorced right away. Maybe you'd agree to Shmuel in the case of Mizonos, or when he says you won't get any enough from me, and he's Mami to Parnes, maybe that would work, according to him, wait the 30 days. Maybe he agrees to Shmuel's position. If we only said the case of Mefarnes, in that case, Shmuel says it. Why? Because you can hire a third party, or you can tell it. You can't hire it. You have to tell a third party to take care of it. Maybe he would agree to Rav in a case when he can't be Mavid Mefarnes by Tashmish, that what? He has to give the divorce right away.